You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up later, we'll hear how important Wisconsin will be, maybe, for Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton in the coming months.
First, we're taking a look at Wisconsin's first congressional district, where Speaker of the House Paul Ryan is the incumbent candidate.
We've been doing a series of candidate interviews ahead of Wisconsin's primary elections on August 9th, and we've invited candidates in contested congressional primaries to join us on Central Time and the Joy Cardine Show.
Joining us now is Ryan Solon. He's one of the candidates for Congress running in the 1st District's Democratic primary. His opponent, Tom Brew, will be joining us tomorrow at this time. Ryan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for the opportunity.
For starters, Ryan, why are you running for Congress?
I want to make a difference. I've been watching from the sidelines for a little while, and I felt that having done federal service in the past in the military, you know, I had the opportunity to serve my country, and this is another way for me to do it. I really want to push some ideas forward, and I think that this is the right time. You know, I think we'll really see some changes made.
You mentioned it briefly there. Can you talk some more about your background and how it would prepare you for Congress?
Certainly. I'm a transplant to the Wisconsin area, actually, back in 2000 when I moved here. I joined the military in 2004, so that did take me away for 8 years of active duty. I did do a tour in Iraq as well. Got out in 2012, and I made it to the rank of captain, had some leadership experience, had an opportunity to work with an awful lot of people from different backgrounds, and I think that really has prepared me the opportunity to work as a representative.
Now, you're running in the district of the Speaker of the House of the United States, Paul Ryan. If you face off with him in the runoff in the general election in November, what would you focus on?
I think at this point I'd be focusing on the issues of health care and education. I say health care primarily because if we were to push for a universal health care system, I think it would have the greatest effect on a number of different areas in government, and it would benefit the people the most, I think.
I'm looking a little far ahead there because you still have this primary next week. How do you distinguish yourself from your opponents in this district?
Well, I do count myself as a little bit more of a moderate Democrat or a centrist, if you will. You know, my opponent, Tom Brey, you know, he does claim that he is the more progressive candidate, and I'll allow him to, you know, accept that label if that's what he wants to label himself as. But in this regard, I think that we're trying to find bipartisanship. We really want to make progress, and I don't know that we can do it if we continue gridlock the way it's been.
How would you, if you were elected to Congress, find bipartisanship? It's hard to come by. You might be in a House that would continue to be controlled by Republicans. How would you reach out and get things done?
Well, I have I've been asked the question before, what would I do? The first thing that I got into Congress if I was elected, bipartisanship all starts with relationships. You know, you may not necessarily agree with everything in somebody else's platform, but it's still important that you go to that person, you understand what they're all about, and you try and find that common ground. So if I was elected, I would make it my responsibility to try and meet with as many of the members of Congress as possible and find that common ground, find out where we could make progress on the issues.
We are continuing our series of candidate interviews this week with Ryan Solon. He's one of the candidates for Congress running in the 1st District Democratic primary, currently held by Speaker of the House Paul Ryan. Let's get more into the issues, Ryan. You mentioned health care a moment ago. I know in your campaign material, you talk about the importance of a balanced budget. Obviously, a big federal deficit every year, a pretty big federal debt. Why do you think that's an important focus?
Well, we all know that the costs of health care are really high. And if we want to do some sort of a universal health care system, we're going to have the funds to be able to pay for that. So looking at the budget, to me, it's only the responsible thing to do. We need to get that budget balanced and start taking a look at the debt that we've incurred. Right now, we pay about $260 billion in interest every year, and that's just the interest alone that goes out the door. We don't get anything for that. To put a little context on it, in 2015, we spent $92 billion on education. So we could almost fund education three times over with just the interest that we're paying. So that seems to me the logical first step. That's what we need to do, is we need to figure out how we can start recovering some of that interest money back and roll it back into the system. In which case, then my plan, I would look at funding infrastructure. We know we have an awful lot of problems with it, and we need to start updating it. That alone would start providing jobs. And then, of course, as workers are getting these jobs, we're cycling money through the system. You're seeing greater tax base. And that's where you start to see the ability to invest in things such as healthcare and education.
That's some of the why to cut the deficit. How? What would be your priorities in terms of spending and revenue?
Well, there are places that we can cut. Obviously, there's some important things that, you know, we would want to try and keep funded. So I would think that every sector would have some area that you could cut the budget, and it would require some very detailed analysis. Every little bit would help. And, you know, I've always said this would be a very difficult task, and it's understandable. But, you know, we're Americans. We're used to tough things. We can handle this. It just might be a little bit difficult for a while.
And you've talked already about universal health care, infrastructure spending down the road. Those things would cost money. Would you be able to handle those priorities while still trying to get the deficit under grips?
I think so. Obviously, we can't do it just all at once. You know, it's not like taking off a Band-Aid after a little while. You've got to really constantly monitor this and take it gradually. You don't want to shock the system. We don't want our economy to tank because we decided to make a rash decision. We need to constantly watch it and make sure that we're making the right decisions for the right times.
You've also called for term limits, like those we have for the president in this country, for people in the Senate and Congress. What are you looking for and why?
I think we need a little more turnover in our representation. We've got some people who have been in there for decades, and to me, that just doesn't really speak to a democracy. You know, I've heard the argument where people say that if they're really good at being a representative, then it's not necessarily a bad thing. But I think I would argue to the flip side of that is, you know, it really attracts abuses of power, or they get overly comfortable within that position, and we end up with more gridlock. In terms of the term limits, I find that, the way I've figured it out is two terms for a senator. That'll give them 12 years. And so I figure that if a senator can do 12 years, let's limit a congressman to 12 years as well.
So 6 2-year terms.
Correct.
What are some of your other priorities focused on your district now? What do you see as things facing Wisconsin's first district that you think the federal government, a congressperson, could really make a difference in?
Within the first district, I see a lot of manufacturing that has disappeared over the years. Jobs have become a very real issue there. People are worried. You know, if the economy is not there, people are going to leave the district, and we don't want that. We really want them to be attracted to the district. We want them to be able to find good-paying jobs and be able to live a comfortable life. I think the focus there then is we're going to have to find ways that businesses will be attracted to the area, you know, whatever that may call for. The bottom line is we need to get people employed, and we need to make sure that they're able to live comfortably.
On the theme of jobs, there's been a lot of talk about trade agreements in the presidential race. Looking back as far as NAFTA and looking ahead at the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the TPP, what do you think about the current state of affairs when it comes to trade agreements?
Well, I know we can't do without trade agreements. Here's the deal. We are a global marketplace. We have to compete within the world itself. Closing ourselves off and isolating it just in the name of making sure that we keep our manufacturing 100% here would be a mistake. That would definitely hurt our economy. So what we need is we need more transparent trade agreements. Now, my issue with the TPP is I don't think it's very transparent. I also don't think it's all about jobs. It seems to me that it's very geared towards the corporate sector for pushing a much larger profit. I think that we would really need to take a look deeper into it and look at the details to figure out just what it is being signed on to.
We're talking to Ryan Solon. He's a candidate for Congress in the 1st District Congressional Democratic primary here in Wisconsin, running against Tom Brey. That seat is currently held by Speaker of the House Paul Ryan.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have for Ryan Solon? What should Congress focus on next year, do you think? And if you live in the 1st Congressional District, what's the most important issue in your area? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll continue the conversation here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. And we're talking with Ryan Solon, candidate for Congress in the 1st District Democratic primary.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have for the candidate if you're from the 1st District, currently represented by incumbent Paul Ryan? What issues are most important in your area? What do you think Congress, the federal government, could do to help you? What do you want to see on the top of the congressional agenda next year? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Call 800-642-1234. Ryan, before we go to our callers, of course, we've got this presidential race going on, kind of the big ticket item. Your thoughts on the primary in the Democratic Party between Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, and now this general election, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump?
Well, in terms of the Democratic side, you know, we watched from the convention. The first day looked a little bit rough. I think there were some people who were a little bit worried with the way it was going. But over time, it did seem to calm down. And I do think that unity has really started to take a hold. I do find that Hillary Clinton is an excellent candidate. And I'm very glad that Bernie Sanders has endorsed her. And I think that that's going to go a long way as far as winning the general election. Looking at the presidential race in general, I know there's a lot of worry about Donald Trump. At this point, I personally don't feel that he is a strong candidate for the position. I really see this one going for the Democrats.
Let's go to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Scott is on the line in Milwaukee. Scott, hi.
Hi. I appreciate listening to an articulate individual that is making some valid, realistic points. My question is, how do you go against an insurmountable war chest that the current Speaker of the House is going to have behind him? And make no bones about it, that cash is going to flow from everywhere.
Well, thank you, Scott, for calling in. Yes. There is no doubt. I don't know that I would ever be able to compete with him on a financial level, but in my mind, that's not what this is about. This is going to be all about the issues. We have some definite need to move forward, and you know, money cannot necessarily purchase people when they've made up their mind. They want change. We've seen that. It's a really big push for it this campaign season, and that's where I'm going to focus. I am going to focus on his record. I'm going to focus on how he's made his decisions in the past and really try and push the idea that we need something different.
Scott, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Taking a look at some of the other issues facing Congress, Ryan, immigration and immigration reform, elusive target for Congress for a long time. Again, big issue in the presidential race. What's your take?
I don't think that that a path to citizenship would be that insurmountable. I know it looks pretty bad right now, and it looks like it would be a difficult situation. But quite honestly, I think that we can make it work. One experience that comes to mind for me while I was in the military was actually when I was in Iraq. I was at one of Saddam's palaces where we were doing a military ceremony, and they brought out a whole bunch of soldiers who were not citizens, and they did their swearing in right then and there. So these were people who, you know, were not officially citizens, yet they served their country, and here they were. They were achieving that. You know, the path to citizenship is something we can definitely look at and put together. We just need to be logical about this and start talking it out rather than just constantly arguing.
We'll bring on another caller now. We've got Dave on the line in Caledonia. Dave, hi.
Good afternoon. What do you think of Congressman Ryan's reaction to his presidential candidate? I have my own opinion about, you know, the look on his face, what's been happening over the last 90 days. But what is your opinion about his reaction to the candidate of his party?
Dave, thanks for the call. So Congressman Ryan has publicly disagreed with Donald Trump on some statements and issues, but still supports him in the campaign.
That is very true. I guess I'll cut a very little tiny bit of slack for Congressman Ryan on this one. He's in a very tough spot because he's trying to be supportive of the party. And at the same time, he's fighting against a lot that's being said by Donald Trump. But that does not excuse him from, you know, from taking a stand. He needs to pick a spot and take that stance and tell people where he's at. Right now, it seems he's kind of going back and forth. He's on the fence, and he hasn't really decided. And it's going to hurt him. It's going to hurt the party. It's certainly not that great for Donald Trump.
Thanks a lot for the call. You can join in at 800-642-1234 as we talk to Ryan Solon, candidate for Congress. He's in the Democratic primary next Tuesday. This is in the 1st District Democratic primary, southern part of the state here. The election next week, Tuesday. Again, you can join in with your questions on issues facing Congress at 800-642-1234. On your list of issues on your website, Ryan, you talk about your position. You've been researching it on gun rights and Second Amendment issues. Right now, where do you come down on that?
Something definitely needs to be done. It seems like the stonewalling is not going to make us any progress, and we already know it won't. Let's face it, we need universal background checks. We need to cover all the bases, make sure that no matter what the transaction is, that we're checking the person out who's purchasing the weapon. Second, we need to start looking more at education. You know, while being in the military, basic training, we went through 3 weeks of weapons training. It was all day, and I'm not saying that everybody needs to do all day training on a weapon, but the bottom line is they need to have more than what they're getting right now. They need to know the weapon inside and out. Now, my plan on this is taking a look at possibly licensing the individual the way we would license someone on a car. You know, you get a license for a car, and it's for a certain class of vehicle, so they know you're certified to drive that particular type of vehicle. You know, why can't we do something like that for guns? Why can't we certify an individual on a certain type of weapon, and that's what they can buy, that's what they can use? And this doesn't necessarily have to happen with the government. The government may be able to certify the trainers, and the trainers can maintain the records of who is certified. And in that regard, then we're not tracking who's buying necessarily what weapons they've bought and owned. To me, it just seems like a more logical step.
Back to our callers now. We've got Linda on the line in Ferryville. Linda, hi.
Hi, how are you? Good luck on your election campaign.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask what you would think about the idea of getting rid of the Beltway and bringing everybody back home, the senators, the representatives, because the Beltway is like crack to those people. Their kids get the best education, they get the best restaurants, they get wined and dined to lobbyists, and they forget about us here, living paycheck to paycheck, wondering where the next job will be.
Linda, thanks for the call. I don't know how that would work at a legal level, trying to bring congressional representatives back home. But what do you think about that idea of more time, at least, back home in the district versus time in the Capitol?
Well, I certainly think the face-to-face time with the people they represent is a good thing. It helps them to understand what the people in the district are going through. We have the technology, obviously, to do video conferencing if that's something that people want to explore. I don't see any reason why we couldn't do things like that. Washington, D.C., though, it is the heart of the government. And I don't see that changing anytime soon, but, I guess there is a case to say maybe they need to spend a little more time in their districts and understand what their people are going through.
Linda, thanks for the call. We'll go next to Steve on the line in Madison. Steve, hi.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thanks for taking the call. Brian, I'd ask, as even the Democrats must perceive the 1st District as being pretty much a foregone conclusion, what support are you getting, financial or otherwise, from the state or national offices, Democratic offices? Are they pretty much leaving you high and dry to run on your own in this area?
Steve, thanks for the call. Ryan, you're still in a primary campaign at this point, but do you see an interest from the state or national parties in supporting, if you're the candidate, your candidacy?
From the state, for sure, there's interest in what's going on there, but because there is a primary, they are remaining neutral, as well as the county parties, they're remaining neutral as well. The support we do get is more or less the moral support, telling us, we're doing great, they like us, we're doing all the right things. I imagine that after the primary, we'll see a whole lot more support coming from them.
Steve, thanks for the call. We've got Dan with us next in Maquonago. Dan, hi.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. One quick question. I'm very much in support of the idea of term limits. How can we the people, encourage our current incumbents to advocate for such an action?
You know, that's a very good question. I wish I had a perfect answer to that. They are comfortable where they are, and, you know, that would require that they vote against something that they're comfortable in. I think it becomes more or less a personal thing. You know, in my mind, I see it as something that should happen, and therefore I would hold myself to, you know, to following a term limit. Trying to convince them of that, well, that's going to be a little more difficult, I think.
Dan, thanks a lot for that call. Ryan, your primary is just a few days away. What message do you hope voters are hearing from you to get them to what's usually a low turnout kind of primary election?
The message I think that would be most important to people is to understand that their vote does count. And it's very important that they get out and exercise that right that they have. You know, when we have a low turnout, then we're not really getting the voice of the people to elect the representatives that we should have. I really do want to push the idea of bipartisanship. I really want to see our country succeed and really make the progress that it should be making. And, you know, if we don't get the voice of the people, then we won't see that.
Time for one more, a brief call. Tom on the line in Madison. Tom, hi.
Yes, hi. I'm just wondering what the candidate would do about climate change.
Tom, thanks. Ryan?
Well, for climate change, it's something we got to understand. We've been using fossil fuels and so forth for about 100 years, maybe more. You can't just cut it off and do something different because it wouldn't be feasible. We have to slowly take ourselves off of these. I think that solar and wind power are very feasible. They're getting better all the time. The technology is advancing. And as long as we continue to fund these technologies and push towards those, we'll see less use on the fossil fuels and the coal industry as well. And I'm not saying that we have to get rid of coal altogether because it is a stable resource as far as energy production goes. But we certainly need to reduce the coal use and try to go to things that are cleaner.
Tom, thanks for the call. And Ryan, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
We've been talking to Ryan Solon. He's a candidate for Congress in the 1st District Democratic primary. His Democratic opponent, Tom Bry, will join us tomorrow at this time. The Republican candidates in the race will be joining us on Wednesday and Thursday. The primary election will take place on Tuesday, August 9th. Here on the Ideas Network, we've been having the candidates in those contested primaries join us on The Joy Cardine Show and here on Central Time. And remember, when it's election season, you can always follow everything that's going on over at WisconsinVote.org, hosted by Wisconsin Public Radio, Wisconsin Public Television, and our partners. You can find recorded copies of interviews with the candidates, voter information, where and how to vote, and lots of articles about the issues and candidates in the big races. Find all of that online at WisconsinVote.org.